The opportunity and ability to talk to the Creator of the universe is a mind-altering and marvelous thought. Just think about it. We are given the opportunity to have a conversation with the person who made the universe and all that is in us. It is one of the greatest privileges afforded to Christians. So, why does it seem so hard at times to practice and enjoy it? Why is it not the highlight of the day? Something so wonderful that we would not miss it. The purpose of our three lessons this month, this afternoon, next Sunday, and the Sunday after, is with the stated goal of trying to recover some of the joy and some of the delight in talking to our Father. Each of our lessons are from this. First, tonight, this afternoon, we're going to answer the question, why should we pray? Why should we pray? And then the Sunday after that, we're going to ask this question, how should we pray? And then finally, the third Sunday, we're going to ask, how should we not pray? How are the mistakes that we make when we pray? The reason that I decided to feature these lessons this month is because I have seen over these years of preaching, very few people think of themselves as being successful prayers. I have never heard a Christian say, I just pray too much. You know, it's just taking up too much of my time, prayer. I've never heard that. I've never felt that myself. In fact, I have felt and I have thought, I don't pray enough. I don't pray as deeply and as fervently as I would like. When I look at Jesus and notice how he prayed, he prayed all night on several occasions. Have we ever prayed all night? You know, I've stayed up most of the night, or almost all the night, talking to a good friend that I haven't seen in a long time. Can we get to the point of our being that talking to God is like talking to our best friend, or Jason, our hero, talking to him, having a conversation with Jesus, our hero? Prayer is the quintessential act of faith. It defines religious people from non-religious people. Spiritually speaking, one of the easiest things to do, and ironically, is one of the hardest things to do. Prayer is talking. We talk all the time. Some of us talk a lot. And I'm one of them. We talk a lot. So it's not just the act of talking. Prayer is easy to do because it involves something that happens every day, we think, talking. But prayer that matters to God stems from, I want you to get this, being men and women of prayer. People of prayer. Paul said, pray without ceasing. He is not talking about some spiritual chatterbox. He is talking about an attitude, about a spirit, about a person who is involved in communication, intimately being in communication with God through the whole day and through their whole life. And note this statement by Peter. Be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. You know why we don't pray any better than we do or as often as we should? because we're not men and women of prayer as much as we should. We don't see the need. There's something about prayer that we do not thoroughly and deeply believe that motivates us to pray. And so, our goal in these lessons is to become more and more people of prayer with an attitude of constantly being in touch with the Father and His will for our lives. Constantly being in touch with the Father. And so we ask, what principles will guide us in our quest to becoming people of prayer? I call them the five pillars of prayer. Now, I chose that picture because I thought it grabbed your attention. If you walk out of this service saying, well, what did the preacher preach about? If you can't say prayer, you're not awake. But I want you to get this. This is important. We're going to look at five pillars of prayer. In other words, what do I mean by pillars? That which supports prayer. That which holds it up. That which enriches it. That we might become people of prayer. That's what we're talking about. Now, it is the methodology. Each of you should have one of these packets of the three lessons. Three lessons on prayer. All right, they're yellow. For Spanish speakers, they're yellow. All right, very good. Now, this one was emailed to all of us. So you could print it out on your own computer or read it off your phone or whatever. Or if you don't get it with email, they're on the back of the table there. This is what it looks like. All three lessons are here. One tonight, one next Sunday, and one the Sunday after that. Now, what's the goal? Why give it to you in advance? So you'll read it. Please read it. We're not going to have time, and it is not the purpose of the classes to go over this in detail. We're going to go to the questions. There are 10 questions at the end. 10 questions at the end that we will use in our studies. All right, everybody pay attention. I know we got a little distraction, but hold it right here. All right. We want to use this merely to generate our thoughts. Now, here's what I did. When I wrote these lessons, my goal was to have the ability to read through it in under 20 minutes. I read it, the first lesson, which is the longest, I read it out loud, word for word, in 17 and a half minutes. I timed myself. So, don't give me this excuse why I didn't have time. If you've not already done it, this afternoon, take 20 minutes, maybe 25, if you're a real, real slow reader, and read through the lesson. All the passages are printed out. You won't have to stop and go look up any. Just read it through. Then think about the questions. And then come to the class prepared to discuss. Bring your own questions. These are just 10 that I thought of. Bring your own questions that you would have. Now, for those of you who are married and have to, you know, care for children today, fathers, give mama 20 minutes, 25 minutes. You take the children, give her 25 minutes to read through the lesson. And then bring the questions with you that we can talk about them. So let's go through the five pillars of prayer. This is not featured in the lesson, though it is mentioned. I just wanted to expand because this is the basis of our prayer study. All right, let's start with the first pillar. God is. God is. And I want to emphasize that if our prayer life is lacking, if it's not as deep and as beneficial to us, one of these five things is weak in our lives. And we need to improve upon it. We need to strengthen it. No one prays to God if they don't believe He's real. You don't have a conversation with a mythical figure. But that's difficult, isn't it, to some degree, because He's not here physically in the flesh. So how do we do that? How do we increase our vision or our understanding of Him as a real person, reality? You're going to have to read the Scriptures, because He testifies as to what He's done, what He's doing, who He is. And we're going to look at five things, or at least four things, that describes who He is. We must become convinced of this. If you will, in the Bible, it is God talking to us. But in prayer, it is us talking to God. You see that conversation going on, God talking to us, then we talking to God. One of the best things we can get in the habit of doing is when we read the Scriptures, allow God to talk to us, and then talk back to God. Pray. Express yourself upon what God has said. The goal is to have Him in such a close place in our heart and in our mind that we just talk to them. We talk to God what's really on our mind. Both assume an existence of a thinking, personal, supreme being, not an impersonal force or power. Personal communication. I ask you, how do you talk to a dear friend intimately? You look at him. Hopefully you get in the same room or around a table and you face them. And as I know Mike, and Mike and I have worked together for years in various capacity, we've had several conversations. I really value most the conversation where we just be together and look into his face and he into mine, and we talk. Can we learn to talk to God that way? He said, well, I can't physically see him. No, but you can develop that spiritual view of God from your reading of Scripture. And we have the great advantage is that he became flesh. God became flesh in his Son, Jesus Christ. If we can learn about him, know what he thought, know how he felt, know what he did, what he didn't do, all of this comes to our mind. It creates an image for us to talk to. Note this passage from Hebrews 11:6. And without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he's real, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Christ lived constantly in touch with God, and he taught us to do the same. I want to ask, do I believe God is real? Do you? Do you believe he's real? And then, our second pillar, man needs. Do we need God? This is one of the great deficiencies in modern man. They do not see often the need for man. What is the reason that we seek God? It's because we see our limitations. We recognize we need help. Folks, if you haven't learned, if you are not motivated at times spiritually to cry out, help, you'll never make it to heaven. Because you can't go it by yourself. All of us need help. And therefore we have the avenue of prayer of expressing that desire for help from the Lord. A man on his knees recognizes this need for help. Circumstances often reveal to us our true needs. Some try to escape into atheism or agnosticism until calamity brings them crashing back to reality. Note this from the Scriptures, from Psalm 107:23-28. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. How many of you are seasick already? I can just kind of bring that up in my mind. I have had kind of a basic underlying kind of niggly fear of water I think it stemmed from my childhood. You get the picture? You're being bounced around in a ship. And you might begin to think, I'm going to perish. Further, they rose up to the heavens, the waves did. They went down to the depths, that boat, just down to the depths, rising up. Their soul melted away, those who were on that boat, in their misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distresses. Oftentimes, bad times, suffering times, are there to get our attention, to show us how much we need God. Thank God for those times, even that are so difficult, that cause me to remember how much we need God. And then Jesus said, John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for everyone together. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Not one thing. Oh, we forget that. Feel so self-sufficient. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In ways we don't really understand or see how much He's in our lives. And further, do I need God? Do you need God in your life? People who deeply pray recognize how much they need Him. And then our third pillar, God hears. Again, this speaks to the reality, do I believe that He really hears me? I know He's there. I know I need Him, but can or does He? Is He willing to listen? Does God hear? To pray is to assume that God can hear. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere, the Scriptures teach us. That is His nature. But He is also omnipotent. He can hear all of us. If not, if He cannot hear, prayer is a tragic and cruel delusion perpetrated by a fanciful and cruel God. And that's not the God of the Scriptures. That's not Him. Note this. James 4:8. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Man comes. God reciprocates. Two are engaged. God is ready to come and to hear us, to listen to us. From Psalm 65:2, O you speaking to God, O you who hear prayer, you to you all men come. Why do all men come to Him? Because they could come to, by faith, understand that He hears them, that He wants to hear them. So we ask, do I believe God hears? Do you? Every prayer, every word, whether verbally expressed or mentally formed, does He hear it? Does He want to hear it? I attest to you that the Scripture says He absolutely does. And then our fourth is God answers. What would be the purpose of prayer, really, if God doesn't answer? Does He answer? Can we believe fervently and correctly that God answers? The God of the Bible is not only a hearing God, but an answering God. Note this again from Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that, everybody, He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. He rewards us who seek Him. That's His promise. He is a promise-keeping God, too. He always keeps His promise. And further, note this from 1 Peter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayer. Not only a hearing, but attending to their request, answering it, guiding us. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And then this one from Matthew 7, 7 through 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. You say, well, he didn't answer it the way I wanted. Who knows best? Does the Father know best? He answers. And thank God He answers. You know the saying, be careful what you ask, you may get it. Am I the only person who is so thankful I didn't get some of the things I asked for? They weren't wise. I couldn't see it at the time, disappointed. But it was best. It was in the Father's will. So we ask, do I believe God answers my prayer? And then our last pillar, our fifth one, God loves. Upon what basis does God base His answers to us? On the basis that He loves us more than we can really understand or fathom. Now, He is credible in this, in that there is evidence of how much He loves us. And we, by faith, accept that and trust it. Not just any answer do we really want. But according to His nature, love motivates and drives the Father's answers. His credibility is solidly demonstrated in His greatest gift and action. And it is, everyone, for God so loved the world. That means all of us. All of us. That He gave His only begotten Son. That whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God answers every prayer based upon His nature of love. God is love. He answers according to His wisdom and love. But note this from Romans the 8th chapter, verses 31 through 32. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Now Jason has aptly brought us to think of Jesus as our hero as we took of the memorial that reminds us what He did for us. I want to put it in the context. Look what the Father did for us, which ought to give us the ability to fully trust that He will answer our prayers according to His love. He'll do what's best for us. And then, God loves us, as demonstrated His provisions for us in ways beyond even spiritual things. Psalm 65, 9 through 13. Speaking of the Lord, you visit the earth and cause it to overflow. You greatly enrich it. The stream of God is full of water. You prepare their grain, for thus you prepare the earth. You water its furrows abundantly. You settle its ridges. You soften it with showers. You bless its growth. You have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths drip with fatness. The pastures of the wilderness drip, and the hills gird themselves with rejoicing. The meadows are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy. Yes, they sing. Is that the way you feel about your Father? He takes care of us and moves us to sing with joy, shout with joy. Thank you, Father, for caring for us and taking care of us. So we ask, do I believe God loves me? Do you? He sent His Son to prove it to you. He wants us to trust Him. And so we conclude with this statement. Will you build your life on the five pillars of prayer? I suggest to you that if your prayer life is anemic, spasmodic, shallow, it's because you're not fully convinced of one of those five things. There's something deficient. Maybe you're not really convinced that He's real, that He's there. Maybe you've gotten so self-sufficient with our affluence that you don't really see that you need Him all that much. Or maybe you're not real certain that He hears you. Because maybe you say, well, I'm a sinner. Surely He doesn't hear sinners. He does hear sinners when they cry out to Him according to His will of throwing themselves upon Him. And do you believe He answers? And He answers according to His love. And so we ask that we all say together, ready? I believe God is real. I believe I need God. I believe God hears. I believe God answers. I believe God loves me. Let us become people of prayer. Thank you for listening this morning. We invite you to come. If you've been moved by the story of Jesus, you've come to know it. And you know that He died for sinners, and you want to respond to Him by repentance, even being baptized into His death by water baptism. In any way we can assist you, let's stand, let us sing. Stormy banks, I stand and cast.